Ever wonder how news outlets decide what to publish? You know, it's such a balancing act, right? Keeping the public informed, but also respecting individual rights.
That's a tough one for sure.
Yeah. So today we're diving into the world of the German Press Council.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, they're an independent body. You know, they handle all these complaints about press ethics. We're going to get a glimpse into how they actually make decisions, how they weigh the different factors,
Yeah.
and ultimately, how do they reach those conclusions?
It's fascinating, you know? It's a unique system. I mean, the German Press Council, they don't actually have legal power,
Really?
but they have this huge influence within the media landscape. It's this combination of ethical guidelines and public pressure and just a deep understanding of journalistic principles, really.
So more like moral authority than legal enforcement.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, so they act like a watchdog,
Okay.
making sure the press follows this thing called the Press Codex. The Press Codex. It's their code of ethics. So it's a set of principles that outline responsible reporting practices, things like truthfulness, protecting personal rights, and, you know, separating editorial content from advertising.
Okay, that makes sense. But how does that actually work in real life? How does the press council make those tough calls?
Well, when someone files a complaint, the press council, they examine the case very carefully.
I bet.
Yeah, they gather evidence, interview the people involved, they analyze the publication's arguments right alongside the complainant's perspective. So basically, they're looking for violations of the Press Codex.
Right.
But it's not as simple as just checking off boxes. You see, they have to weigh the severity of the violation. What was the intention? How much harm was caused?
So it's about understanding the nuances of each case,
No, right.
not just black and white rules.
You got it. Take Ziffer 7, for example.
Ziffer 7.
Yeah, it's the principle of separating advertising for editorial content.
Okay.
Sounds pretty straightforward, but the press council, they see a lot of cases where the lines get blurred.
Oh, I can imagine, right? With native advertising and sponsored content, it must be so hard to figure out where editorial integrity ends and where that paid promotion begins.
It is. It really is. So let's say, for example, a magazine offers a company an illustration in exchange for payment. Now, that might seem like a clear violation of Ziffer 7 right on the surface,
Yeah.
but the press council would look deeper. What's the context? What was the intention? Was there a potential to mislead the reader?
So even with something like Ziffer 7, which seems pretty clear-cut, there's still room for interpretation.
There is, and that's so important to understanding how the press council works. They don't just give rulings, they explain their decisions,
Okay.
lay out their reasoning, explain the factors they considered.
So it's not about punishing publications, but more about promoting those ethical practices, you know, making sure we have a responsible press.
Exactly. Their decisions set precedents for future reporting. You could say they shape the media landscape.
Let's look at another Ziffer. One that I know sparks a lot of debate, Ziffer 12. Discriminatory reporting. How do they navigate that tension between freedom of the press, but also protecting individuals from harmful stereotypes?
It is complex, and the press council recognizes that. Context is key. They weigh the potential harm of using labels against how relevant that information is to the story.
Okay, so for example, I remember a case where a newspaper mentioned several times that perpetrators of these crimes were Roma. The press council criticized the newspaper for potentially reinforcing negative stereotypes. But then there's another case. A newspaper reports on a police raid
Right.
targeting Sinti and Roma communities, and the press council said the labeling was okay. How do you reconcile these seemingly contradictory decisions?
The difference is the council's reasoning. So, in that first case, they questioned whether it was really necessary to keep saying the ethnicity of the perpetrators. You know, did it help people understand what happened?
Right.
Or was it just contributing to bias without adding much to the story?
But in the police raid, the context was different.
It was. The press council said that the ethnicity of the community was actually crucial for understanding why there was such a big police presence.
Okay.
It wasn't about saying an entire group was criminal, it was explaining the specific circumstances of that raid.
So it's not about censorship. It's about making thoughtful choices about labels and whether they're truly relevant. Finding that balance, you know, between informing the public and avoiding unintended harm.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. The press council's role is to guide the press to make those smart judgments, because every editorial decision can have far-reaching consequences.
Their approach to Ziffer 12, I mean, it seems to reflect their whole approach to ethical decision making.
Right, it does, yeah.
looking at each case, considering the context, weighing the potential harm against how valuable that information is.
Precisely. It's this delicate balance. And the press council provides that framework to help navigate these complexities, making sure the press is operating responsibly and ethically, even with these really tough dilemmas.
Okay, so we've seen how the press council deals with things like separating advertising from editorial content and navigating the complexities of discriminatory reporting. But what about protecting personal rights?
Right, Ziffer 8. It's a cornerstone of ethical journalism.
Yep.
Really about respecting privacy and dignity, especially when reporting on sensitive topics or when vulnerable individuals are involved.
That must come up a lot, especially today when information spreads so fast.
Oh, it does. And the press council takes it very seriously. They recognize that individuals have a right to privacy.
Right.
Even if they're involved in a news story, they deserve respect.
There was that case, a newspaper published the name and photo of a man who had died.
Yeah.
His daughter objected. She said he valued his privacy even in death. The press council criticized the publication, you know, for causing distress to the family and not respecting his privacy. Makes you think about reporting on sensitive matters, even after someone is gone.
It does. And the council's decision really made it clear. Respecting privacy goes beyond the living. It's about honoring the wishes of the deceased, recognizing that their stories, even in death, should be treated with sensitivity.
It's a good reminder that journalistic responsibility isn't just about getting the facts out there. It's about understanding the human impact. You know, what happens when those facts are made public?
You're right. The pursuit of a story shouldn't come at the expense of basic decency.
I'm starting to really understand how the press council operates.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughtfully, taking their time, they really understand the ethical complexities of journalism.
It is fascinating, isn't it? They're always weighing different factors, interpreting the guidelines, and then they make judgments that shape media ethics in Germany. And their decisions, they offer valuable lessons for anyone who cares about a free and responsible press.
Before we go on to some other cases, let's take a break. Come back refreshed, ready to explore more of this world of media ethics.
Back again, ready to dig into more of these press council cases.
Absolutely. It's really amazing how they balance, you know, freedom of the press, individual rights, and the public's right to know. It's like each case is a puzzle.
Yeah.
And the press council has to put all the pieces together.
That's a great way to put it. It really highlights how they go beyond just surface level analysis. Thinking about the context, the intent, potential harm. It's not just checking boxes. It's about those nuances.
Right. And that makes their decision so much more insightful. It's not just a right or wrong kind of thing. It gives you a real framework for thinking about ethical journalism, even in those gray areas.
And speaking of gray areas, let's look at this case. A newspaper published an article about a trial, a man's death after some kind of altercation.
Okay.
The press council said they went too far, revealing personal details about the deceased and speculating on the cause of death.
It sounds like they were trying to find that balance, right?
Yeah.
Reporting on the trial, but also protecting the reputations of the people involved, especially the person who couldn't defend themselves.
Exactly. It's a reminder that even in legal proceedings, ethics are still really important. Just because information is public in court doesn't mean the press can just do whatever they want with it.
The press council specifically mentioned potential harm to the reputation of the people involved. So it's not just about the deceased, but thinking about how reporting can impact everyone connected to the case.
Right. They're reminding journalists to think beyond the immediate story. What are the long-term consequences? Could reporting unfairly damage someone's life, even if it's technically factual?
That's a key point.
Hmm.
It shows how deep the press council's ethical framework is. It's not just setting rules. It's about encouraging responsible reporting that thinks about the human impact.
Let's switch gears for a second. We've been talking about individual Ziffers, but I think it's helpful to step back. Look at a case that shows the bigger picture of how the press council makes decisions.
Okay.
So this one's about a reader who complained about a magazine article. They felt it misrepresented their point of view.
Right. So that goes to the heart of fairness and accuracy, which are so fundamental to ethical journalism. Even when someone criticizes a publication, they deserve to have their perspective accurately represented.
Exactly. So the reader felt like the article, which included parts of their letter to the editor, twisted their words, made them look bad.
So not outright lying, but a subtle distortion that could still hurt their reputation.
Right. And the press council recognized that. They said it's crucial to faithfully represent viewpoints, even ones that criticize the publication.
This is so important because it shows the press council holding the media accountable, even when it's uncomfortable. They're not giving publications a free pass just because they're the ones being criticized.
Exactly. Ethical journalism is a two-way street. It's not just the press deciding what's right. It's about engaging with the public, addressing concerns, and striving for accuracy and fairness in everything they do.
It really shows the collaborative nature of media ethics, a conversation between the press and the public, guided by principles like transparency and accountability.
Okay, let's dive into something that often causes a lot of controversy: scientific reporting. We have a study here analyzing how German print and online media represent scientific evidence.
This is really relevant today with so many scientific advancements and the media's role in shaping how the public understands it all.
Absolutely. The study found that science journalism gets a lot of criticism for a lack of transparency, accuracy, and critical analysis. Some people are even calling for more evidence-based science journalism, looking at all the evidence instead of just focusing on single studies or sensational findings.
That makes sense. Scientific findings can be complex, and sometimes trying to simplify it for a general audience can lead to misunderstandings or exaggerated claims.
Exactly. Ethical science journalism means more than just reporting on the breakthroughs. It's about giving context, explaining how the research was done, and acknowledging the limitations of what they found.
It's about helping readers understand the scientific process, not just giving them isolated facts or catchy headlines.
Right. And this raises a bigger ethical challenge. How do journalists handle complex, specialized fields and present that information to a public that might not have the same expertise? How do they do that accurately and responsibly?
Finding that balance between making it accessible, but also making sure it's accurate.
Yeah.
So scientific information is understandable, but also true to the research.
Exactly. And this highlights how the Press Council's role goes beyond just news reporting. They promote ethical standards in all areas of journalism, including those that require specialized knowledge.
We've covered some heavy stuff. How about something a little lighter? A case that deals with language and identity.
Sure. There's this case involving a magazine that used unconventional pronouns in a story, and some people accused them of using discriminatory language.
This one is fascinating because it brings together journalism, social change, and how the press should reflect those changes ethically and sensitively.
The case was specifically about using the pronoun ES in a headline. Some readers found it offensive and dehumanizing.
Right. It sparked in debate. Was the language actually discriminatory, or was it just reflecting the individual's preferred pronouns and how our understanding of gender identity is changing?
The Press Council decided not to issue a formal reprimand. They recognized how challenging it is to use appropriate language in a world that's changing so fast.
Yeah.
They stressed the need for sensitivity and respect, but they also recognize that we can't have rigid language rules that might clash with individual identities.
This really shows how the Press Council is willing to adapt to a changing world. They're not stuck in the past. They're engaging with today's issues and recognizing the need for flexibility.
Right. Language changes, and so do the ethical considerations. It's about finding that balance between avoiding harmful language and respecting how individuals want to express themselves, especially when it comes to identity.
It's a tough line to walk, but the Press Council seems to be doing a good job, showing a commitment to both inclusivity and responsible reporting. Their approach encourages continued dialogue, learning and adapting as our understanding of language and identity evolves.
This case really shows how the Press Council isn't afraid of difficult conversations. They're willing to engage with the complexities of language, identity, and social change, recognizing that these issues are at the heart of ethical journalism in the 21st century.
It's great to see an organization handling these contemporary dilemmas in such a thoughtful and nuanced way. And it's really amazing how the Press Council manages to stay so relevant. The media landscape is constantly changing, right?
It is.
They're adapting their interpretations of the Press Codex to keep up with new challenges and those involving social norms.
Yeah, it shows how committed they are to those ethical standards. Even as the world changes around them, they're not stuck in the past. They're helping to shape the future of responsible journalism.
Okay, before we finish up this deep dive, I want to talk about one more case. It really highlights the impact of their decisions. A newspaper published photos of victims from a crime scene. And they didn't have consent.
Oh, wow.
The newspaper said they were trying to encourage public vigilance. But the Press Council disagreed.
That's a tough one. This case shows how much weight the council puts on individual rights, even when it seems like those rights might clash with the public interest. They saw how much those photos could hurt the victims and their families, and that outweighed any benefit of more vigilance.
It really shows you that respecting someone's dignity is not negotiable, even when you're trying to get a story or when you think your intentions are good.
Right. It's also a reminder that journalistic responsibility goes beyond staying out of legal trouble. It's about making ethical choices even when they're difficult or maybe even unpopular.
Absolutely. The Press Council provides that framework, helps journalists navigate those tough choices, reminding them that their actions have real consequences. Ethical considerations should always come first.
And speaking of tough decisions, there's that issue of identifying people accused of crimes, especially when they belong to marginalized groups. We have a case where a newspaper wrote a series of articles about a family accused of welfare fraud.
This is such a gray area. Trying to balance transparency with the potential for harm. The public has a right to know about these allegations, but identifying people before they're convicted can really hurt their reputations. And even lead to harmful stereotypes, especially if they're already from a marginalized group.
It is. In this case, the newspaper said that they needed to mention the family's ethnicity to understand the context.
And the Press Council disagreed.
They did. They said that including the family's ethnicity could create bias without adding anything important to the story. It's a delicate balance. But they seem to be really cautious when it comes to anything that could stigmatize people or groups.
It shows that they're aware of the power dynamics in media. Even small details, like mentioning someone's ethnicity, can have a big impact, especially for those who are already vulnerable.
Yeah, their decision makes it clear. Journalists need to think critically about their choices. Think about the potential impact, not just on individuals, but on whole communities.
So it's not just about avoiding legal problems. It's about making ethical choices, thinking about the broader social context and the potential for harm. Recognizing the power of the press and using that power responsibly.
That's it. Ethical journalism is about more than just avoiding doing something wrong. It's about actively promoting fairness, accuracy, and respect for everyone's dignity.
This deep dive into the German Press Council's decisions has been really insightful. It's given us a look into the complicated world of media ethics and all the thought that goes into upholding journalistic standards.
It has been fascinating to see how the Press Council balances these competing interests, considers all the ethical angles, and ultimately guides the press toward responsible reporting.
It reminds us that a free press is so important for a healthy democracy. But that freedom also means being responsible, using it ethically, and thinking about how it affects individuals and society.
The Press Council is a great example of how to handle those complexities, making sure the press is accountable, transparent, and committed to the public good.
So as we wrap up, it leaves us with a lot to think about. How do we, as consumers of media, tell fact from fiction, bias from balance? How do we know what's responsible reporting and what's just sensationalism? And do we hold the press accountable, not just for getting the facts right, but for behaving ethically?
Those are important questions, especially as the media landscape keeps changing. And the work of the German Press Council gives us some really valuable guidance as we figure it all out.
So until next time, keep learning, keep thinking critically, and stay curious.